Rise and shine, rise and shine. Hey, Hardy, wake up.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to begin boarding. If we could ask for your cooperation, would you all please remain seated?
Well, how'd you sleep last night?
I don't believe that's any of your business.
If you go to a Bansy Fall and you want to have a prance on Hansel All and Fub with you, don't forget to slop your dripper.
Mr. Nightlinger, what's for breakfast?
Stewed apples, bacon, and biscuits.
Well, forget the apples. Slap some bacon on a biscuit. Let's go.
You're on the high ground with Craig Flowers.
And a happy Halloween to you, Samuel.
Happy Halloween to you.
Are you ready, young man?
Oh, yeah.
Allons-y!
Texans, and good morning, Texans, and everybody that got here as fast as you possibly could or who's en route. But remember why you're coming, why you came. Oh, and don't mess with Texas. Yes, indeed, there are a lot of states that are great, but there's only one great state.
It's what's made this the greatest country in America.
You know the thing. Really, really. That is it. The one and only riding shotgun with me this morning. The pride of East Texas, or East Austin. I was in East Texas. The pride of East Austin, world's friendliest Rottweiler. Great hot tub. Special operations helicopter pilot.
Not a member of the Mensa Club.
Army vet and Navy vet. The one and only Jamie Frazier.
Good morning, Colonel.
Everybody talking about James Frazier. Mm-hmm.
And also with us in studio, the one and only Willie Brown from Jack Brown Cleaners.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, it's good to play golf with you in that, tough conditions the other night over at Falcon Head.
I'll tell you what, I'd take this day in golf right now.
Yeah. Oh, yesterday
was
beautiful.
Too.
Yesterday was sweet. Boy, game time today, 3 o'clock kickoff with the Longhorns and the Oklahoma State Cowboys out of Stillwater. That will be 71 degrees and clear, low of 46. It's 46 right now in Stillwater, and they'll be hitting the paddles right behind the Longhorn line up there on the sidelines. Samuel from Alabama is having his second breakfast taco with Spider-Man shirt on today. Happy Halloween, my friend.
Happy Halloween.
And your brother's birthday. You went to the hospital when your brother was born dressed as?
Buzz Lightyear. I was two.
Oh, Sammy, you crack me up, dude.
Did you fly? You flew in there to see what's your brother's name?
Harley.
Harley.
I was pissed, man.
Why?
You wanted
that
name?
Treating.
Oh, it was at night. You had to put the sack down and go in there and we've got a bag of Tootsie Rolls, which I'm according to Bucky and others, the Tootsie Roll is one of the least preferred. I love the Tootsie Roll. I love a good Tootsie Roll.
I think the most preferred is Reese's Pieces.
I'm a Reese's guy.
Yeah.
I can't stand a Tootsie Roll.
I'm not a big Tootsie Roll guy.
You know, there was a log, it was almost like a Butterfinger, but it was kind of a log thing. It was kind of almost burnt orange. I can't remember what it was, but I used to love that Joker. It had kind of a peanut flake thing to it.
Did you come back with your loot and trade?
Oh, we were trading machines.
Yeah, trading machines.
Yeah, big time trade machines. When we had this friend that always loved to decoy the kids, and he would have little Ziploc bags of white bread and tuna fish sandwiches, like cut in little squares. And so they would come, he had a bag, and he would reach in and go, tuna fish sandwich for you, and the kids would just be, oh, my gosh.
I'm going to put a bowl of tortilla chips and dip. There you go. Help yourself.
Jamie, when did you stop trick-or-treating?
I haven't.
I know. Yeah. I noticed that about you.
Yeah, there is that awkward moment, though, right around 12 or 13 where you need to shut it down, and there's a couple hanger-oners.
Yeah, there are. Hey, it's like you need to go to the basketball court and shoot hoops tonight or something.
Hey, dude, you just drove here.
Drove to trick or treat.
Yeah, if you got a driver's license, you can't get candy, right?
Oh my god! Yeah, that's it right there. The Chico stick. That's it. Thank you very much, Jersey guy. Thank you, man. in 92-93. Yes, it was the Chico stick. That Joker, I loved a good Chico stick, man. And I see every once in a while you see him, you know, at Cracker Barrel or something like that.
I don't know if I've ever seen a Chico stick. Maybe I have and just don't know it.
It's not Chico, it's a Chico.
Oh, Chico. Yeah, well, the way you described it, I really don't want it. It's orange really log. Good.
It's really
try
good.
This orange log. It's really good.
So in Independence, Kansas, instead of Halloween, they celebrate Neowalla. It's a Neowalla, which is Halloween spelled backwards. And they have a parade. In fact, they have Miss Neowalla.
Do they walk backwards parade?
No, but that's funny. That would be a good thing to do. But one of my, we're gonna talk about a number of things here because Sammy dressed up as Spider-Man this morning. A rather large Spider-Man with a breakfast taco.
Two breakfast tacos.
And we're going to tee up the mighty theme song at some point, Sammy, of the Spider-Man cartoon. Da-da-da, I mean, that was a big deal back then when that cartoon came on. Brought to you by Sportsman's Finest. I'm Craig Flowers. You're listening to The High Ground from the banks of 360. I was talking to Nicholas Vidros, the owner of Sportsman's Finest, just this morning. They are loaded up with archery. Bowtech, they've got a great selection of bows in there. They've just gotten replenished with ammunition, and they are really forecasting that really well. They are got plenty of the fly. There was someone in there, Jamie, the other day who bought their first fly rod, an Able fishing reel, which are the hand-painted reels, one of a kind. But I talked with them. They are loaded up today. Look, they're getting inundated with phone calls because they're the most well-stocked outdoor supply Sportsman's Finest in the central area of Texas right now, and I promise you that a phone call is really not going to get you what you need. Just get on in there because they are loaded. They have everything you need in there. I just talked to the owner, and they've done a great job forecasting for firearms, fly fishing, ammunition, and archery.
That's why it says ammo, because everyone's still out of ammo.
I know, and people want to keep calling and calling over and over again to ask, hey, do you have this? Mm-hmm. They've got it. Go get it. It's there. It's there right there, and they open at 10 o'clock. They're open right now.
Go check out their winter apparel there, too.
Oh, yeah, it's
I'm going to go in there and get some winter boots. And
speaking of boots, let's get straight to it. It's the Chiso's Boots Morning Story.
The Morning Story.
Oh, it is a recycled morning story. It was 1972. I was 8 years old. We were living at Stewart Air Force Base. And Dad rounded up myself and my little brother, and we were going to the Halloween costume contest for the Air Force Base. We were going to meet in the big theater. And every military child was dressed up in their favorite Halloween costume. Of course, I had the standard homemade pirate costume that I'd made myself, wrapped the cardboard sword in aluminum foil and a rag around my head and painted a patch over my eye. I was a pirate, and I was committed to that. At 8 years old, I was being as creative as I possibly could, and we walked into that theater that day, which ended up being one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. Ready to see if we were one of the top three Halloween costumes. And as I sat there and we all got up and walked across the stage, the judges, sort of like America's Got Talent, stared at all the costumes, asked each one of us to pause for a couple moments. And when I paused, I held up my cardboard aluminum-wrapped sword and I looked those judges in the eyes and I went, "Arr!" And that was my pirate sound that I'd rehearsed all week. As I walked off the stage and everyone went back to their seats, the judges huddled. Oh, and now they were going to announce the winners. In first place, Spider-Man of all people, Sammy. It was Spider-Man. In second place, it was a simple costume, but it was well done. And I guess he or she, I don't remember if it was a boy or a girl, Casper the Friendly Ghost. He was friendly, and he earned second place. And then finally, in third place, they announced, and I was listening intently because I wanted to be up there so bad, they announced that the winner in third place was the Flower Child. Oh, I jumped up out of my seat, for I was the Flower Child, Craig Flowers, and I was so excited, and I moved everyone out of the way with my sword held high, and I made my way up on the stage, only to see that there were four of us on that stage, one dressed as Spider-Man. Another is Casper, the friendly ghost. Myself as a pirate. And then that fourth person, who ended up actually winning third place, was dressed as a 1960s flower child. The awkwardness built as everyone in the audience realized that the pirate had misunderstood. And as they handed out the skates and the rock'em sock'em robots and whatever the other prize was to the third place winner, I just stood there. Oh, that was an embarrassing feeling in front of 500 of my peers and my parents in the audience. And as they walked off with their prizes, I had one thing left to do. I looked down at those judges, and I held up my sword, and I went, Mom and Dad didn't say a word on the way home. Oh, I was embarrassed. And to this day, one of the most embarrassing moments of my life, back in 1972 on Halloween. And that's the Chiso's Boots morning story. It's embarrassing even hearing it and telling it. It was awful.
That was the flower child giving out some chemical substance to win votes.
It was the flower child was this girl who had a giant, like, flower wrapped around she, and she had all this tie dye stuff. I didn't even know what a flower child was until I saw one that night on stage with me, and I was like, oh my gosh, that is awful. Thank God we had some Chico sticks later that night. We'll be back from the banks of 360. Sammy.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
Wow.
The zombies were having fun. The party had
get your Chico sticks out for tonight. Yes, indeed, a 24-count case, 1.6-ounce sticks. Crunchy peanut butter with toasted coconut. Thank you, Texter. That was it, baby love. I love that little coconut kick at the end right there. It's like a good porter beer with a little coconut. Oh, that's sweet. Well, when those older kids came to our home, my wife made them do math before she would hand them any Chico stick or any treats.
Everybody talking about Jamie Frazier.
Jamie, what's going on in East Austin, the pride of East Austin?
Everybody's just waiting to see the OSU-UT game.
Really?
Yeah. It should be interesting.
Where are you going to watch said game?
I don't know. I don't know yet.
Jamie, tell me about this phenomenon that's going on right now with faux commutes.
I got on LinkedIn. They have they hit my account up on LinkedIn. It was like faux commutes. It's a little article. I'm like, I'll read that.
Why wouldn't you? Faux commutes.
Yeah. So apparently people are working from home now.
Right.
And they need to break the whole status that I'm working at home, just get my PJs and go to work.
Okay.
So they're waking up, getting dressed up, grabbing their briefcase, going out for a walk, coming back to their home and checking in for work. And then they leave at night. They take their briefcase, go for a walk, walk for a mile or two, come back to their house, and they're home.
Well, besides getting exercise, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. But at least the people that are actually walking a mile, good for them. But if they're putting a suit on to do that, you're an idiot.
You should be happy. Jack Brown Cleaners.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go roll around in the neighbor's yard, too, in that suit, please.
Get that thing.
Yeah, never mind. That is brilliant.
Faux commutes.
I heard.
It's brilliant.
I heard Jack Brown Cleaners is doing a kids' coats for kids.
Coats for kids starting November 9th. It'll be, I want to say, our 34th straight year to do this, and we generally take in between 30,000 and 40,000 coats, redistribute them.
How they do it?
You know, take them into any of your local Jack Brown Cleaners starting November 9th.
Say it again slowly because it sounded like you said coach, but.
Coats. Keep you warm.
Like winter coats.
Absolutely. Winter coats, jackets. We'll take scarves. You know, anything to keep kids warm. Bring them into any of your local Jack Brown Cleaners. We'll get them all cleaned up, get them distributed out to the kids, and, you know, just a great charity to start off the the winter. So bring them in.
You guys are hiring out there too.
We are. We have lots of job openings. We're looking for good, hardworking people. Go visit our job line at jackbrowncleaners.com. And like I said, we're looking for people. So
good.
In there.
Nice.
Get on in there. Well, the Chiso's Boots, they got some exciting stuff coming out. I got to tease it a little bit because I don't have the green light go. But pay attention, because that first week, the same time you're doing the Coats for Kids. Coats for Kids. Cheezos is going to come out with a great announcement. And if you follow them online, you're getting a hint, because he sent out a little image of what is in store for Cheezos. So if you want to see what the next round is, it's a pretty special boot. It's unique. It'll be one of a kind. I think he's only making anywhere less than 100 pair.
Yeah.
But it is a boot like this has never been made ever.
Will this be the number 6?
I think it has to be.
Yeah. I guess he's doing them all in order.
Yeah. So Bob Ballew, man, I got to spend a little time with him at the Comfort Crew event that he talked a little bit about this morning, playing through. And, man, first of all, Bob Ballew, great guy, and really enjoyed his company. But, dude, he hit, and you may have missed it if you didn't listen to Playing Through this morning, he hit a 390-yard drive. Now, granted, it was with the wind, but he also hit one 305 yards into the wind on a par 4 onto the green. And I just, you know, that is a big, big deal. It's a big lead.
Yeah, that's some pop in your bat there.
Yeah, he can, and he's huge. We took a photo afterwards, and I looked at the photo. Man, I look like, I don't even know what. I look like I'm about 5'4", Monty Tau for the 1970-something North Carolina State basketball team with David Thompson. Monty Tau, he was a guy that would just come off the bench and shooting threes, and they didn't even have a three-point line. He was still shooting threes. Anyway, the Comfort Crew was a big deal. Yesterday here in downtown Austin, James Frazier and I had lunch at the Lonesome Dove.
That's good.
Yeah, Chris and Tina out there just took great care of us. Man, that place is good. That's the first time I've ever been there.
Did you get the prime rib?
Yeah, well, I had a bite of it because Coach Wardus was with us. Coach Wardus drove in from Abilene.
Jaime was there.
That guy's so funny. Yeah.
And this was interesting. Why would Coach Wardus drive from Abilene to be at the Comfort Crew? Well, the founder of the Comfort Crew was Rhonda Englander. And on the 28th of March, 2020, Rhonda lost her life to leukemia. Woody Englander, who played golf here at the University of Texas and just a great human and one of my closest friends here in Austin, couldn't be with his wife that he lost there in March because of the coronavirus. Well, Alan Wardus lost his wife 2.5 years ago to colon cancer. And so Alan drove to spend time with Woody because there's a, you know, he has been there, if you will, and brought him a book called Don't Steal My Grief or Don't Take Away My Grief, and wrote him a nice note. And they spent about an hour together. And the whole Comfort Crew event was, you would think it was, you know, going to be very solemn because of Rhonda passing, but it was not that way at all. It was uplifting. It was inspirational. And everyone that was there was not only honoring Rhonda, but supporting the military dependents of those deployed. Jamie and I both know that feeling. When our dads went to Vietnam, we were young kids. We dropped them off at the airport. We didn't know why mom was crying. And we were like, well, Dad, what do you mean? Dad's coming back. He's getting on a plane. It must be fun. Mm-hmm. Had no earthly idea. You remember that, Jamie?
Oh, I do.
Yeah. You got to take care of the moms.
Yeah. And the kids are just kind of clueless. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was good. It says a lot about Alan Wardus driving all the way down from Abilene to spend a couple hours with Woody Englander. The faux commute, that is a thing. You know the thing, Jamie. It is a faux commute.
The thing.
And so when you look at this game today, 3 o'clock kick from Stillwater, it'll be 71 degrees and clear. It'll be great conditions. It'll be a great game to go to. It'll be at T. Boone Pickens Stadium. The late, great T. Boone Pickens.
They're up and close there. That stands is like right on the sidelines.
Yeah.
But I wonder what the capacity is today.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
I think they're going to do 25%.
Yeah, it might not matter.
Yeah.
So when you look at this, you're hoping, as we've heard all week, that they're going to find that bell cow running back. Who is it? We don't know. It'll be 1, 2, 3, maybe even 4 guys. And feed him, as Casey said, just keep feeding him, keep feeding him. And let him get in some sort of rhythm. When Kirk Gibson came up in 1988 and went up there with a bum leg and, you know, facing Dennis Eckersley and, you know, kind of fouls one off, and then the great Vin Scully's announcing that game, and then he hits a home run, that is so difficult to do and so rare, so rare. Because normally you've got to get in the feel of a game. And in football, Jamie, that you played at UC Davis, and Rod Baber says this all the time, I can't imagine coming out of a game once you run for 8 yards, you run for 4 yards, you want to find that guy that says, no, I'm good. I'm not tapping. I'm staying in here because we've got something going. It's rhythm.
It is. But you all see in the pros, they're platooning running backs, and that's also work too. You're getting fresh legs in there all the time. But, yeah, you're looking for the right guy. I don't know if they can find it. I just don't. I think OSU is going to beat UT, and I just think that they have, and you know, you're going with the Big 12 defense, but they have a decent Big 12 defense. It's not a defense for the SEC, the Big 10, but it's for a Big 12. They have a decent defense.
Well, Texas hasn't proved that they can run on anybody in the last 10 years, right. So we'll just put it that way. And I agree with Casey 100%. Pick a running back, commit 20 carries to him, and just see what happens. I personally think you should go with the freshman, number 5, Bijan Robinson. I mean, he's your highly recruited guy. We've seen Keontae for 3 years, and I love the way he runs. But, you know, sometimes he's fumble prone. And like you're saying, you know, just throw in the young stud.
Commit him to 20 carries. I love number 5.
See what happens.
And I'll tell you.
If he can get you 100 yards, you got somebody to ride.
And the kid out of Houston, Lamar, you know, Avante Woodard, I listened carefully to some folks talking about, you know, why was he in the game? Well, I believe, I know the kid. I know his mom worked with him in Houston, Lamar. And I'm actually surprised, I'm not a practice, but I'm actually surprised that he hasn't been one of those guys that's in the I almost said the R word, rotation.
Yeah.
But I mean, talk about a guy you could feed who could catch fire.
The kid looks Avante. The part. He looks the part.
I'm an Avante fan.
He's a big, fast guy.
Yeah, and you know? I like the young man, and I hope he is what I believe him to be, which is someone that could be a go-to receiver there. You know, what was it like playing for Chris Peterson? You didn't play for Chris Peterson,
no.
Jamie, but he was your teammate.
Yeah,
at UC Davis. He was your quarterback.
He was quarterback.
What was he like?
Good guy. I mean, he was a guy it's not drinking, that's giving guys rides home from the parties. He's he's just a good person. Yeah.
I keep hearing Chris Peterson's name around there, and he was your designated driver when you guys were in college. Is that right?
Just a couple of times.
Yeah. Just on Halloween.
Yeah.
He was carrying you guys around so you could get the Chico sticks.
But are you hearing a lot of names getting passed around, just like the Big Ugly Tailgate they were talking? Is someone looking for a replacement for Herman? I don't know.
I've got nothing to know.
Does he have to win out? Does he get a pass for the COVID? I have no idea.
I think his only shot is to win the Big 12.
Well, you can start right now. I mean, this is a game where it wouldn't surprise me at all if Texas wins this ball game. It really wouldn't. I mean, football, it's such an uncertain. By the way, and everyone kind of, you know, rolled their eyes when at my house when I said this is a game where you don't be surprised if James Franklin slips up and gets in Ohio State's kitchen a little bit. I've never been up there to Happy Valley. I can't believe that we lived at West Point for a decade and I never had a chance to get over there and see it. It's out in the middle of nowhere, but it seems like just the coolest place to go.
Is that a night game tonight? Well, I forget that there's no fans, because usually they do a whiteout in that stadium where everybody wears white and it's a night game and the lights, and it's really cool looking. You know, it must be a great home field advantage for Penn State, but I've never been up there either, and it looks like a great place to go view a football game.
Yeah, and this morning you could see. I didn't realize that their baseball, Penn State's baseball field, is right there.
Is that right?
As well, I mean, James Franklin. I'm a big James Franklin fan, and Michael Hazel's his director of football operations. I've worked with both of them a couple of times, and I really like his approach to leader development. It's very well. He spent some time with some of the boys that you and I have served with, Jamie, and so he kind of picks up from those operators and how they lead and go about it. Yeah, they didn't win last week, but I would be surprised.
Yeah, this year's kind of fluky, right? You know, that's your first game.
Yeah, there's going to be some cray-cray stuff going on there. I mean, look at the Cowboys. Who would think that they're through their, you know, they're having to go find quarterbacks now to put on their scout team.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, don't tell me about it.
Yeah, you don't want me to tell you about it?
No, I don't.
Have you heard about Chico sticks? They're really
Army's got a bye this week. They got Air Force next week.
The Army Black Knights are not playing this week. They have a bye. Speaking of tough developmental coaches, Jeff Munkin. The Army Black Knights are 6-1. Of course, they played Mercer last week. Their only defeat is against Cincinnati. They've got Tulane in front of them, Air Force, and, of course, Navy on December 12th at Army. It's not going to be played at Lincoln Financial Field. It'll be played on the banks of the mighty Hudson River at West Point. Cadets and midshipmen.
When was the last time that happened?
Gosh, I don't know. But
has
I know
it even happened?
It has.
It has, okay.
Yeah.
I just lost my buddy, Mike Krause, who just passed this week.
Played football at Army,
and he served me out in Egypt. He was a helicopter pilot, lieutenant colonel in the, believe the Army Reserves on the East Coast.
But, we tried to do some research to find out what happened.
Yeah, he just passed. I don't know.
We don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
But
Moose.
Oh, that was his nickname?
Yeah, Moose. He's a big kid. He's Moose.
Well, the question here, we'll get back to this, the answer. Willie, you got a question here on the text line. Did you ever play racquetball at JB's house on Cat Mountain? What the heck's that all about? We'll be back, Sammy.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes a Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud.
He's got radioactive blood. Let's hope the Longhorns have radioactive blood in Stillwater today with a 3 o'clock kick coming out. The Longhorn game day starts right after this program with Bucky Godbolt, who will be blowing in here right at the top of the hour here at 11 o'clock. Spider-Man, boy, that one made me smile right there. I just remember sitting around watching the cartoons, eating Cap'n Crunch, getting it all stuck in my teeth, getting ready for Chico Sticks later that night with that coconut kick. And Jamie Frazier, am I talking about Jamie Frazier? You and I were talking before about cartoons, you know, which one was our favorite one. And you threw out a couple that brought back good memories.
Which ones?
Scooby-Doo. They were all hit. That was one. Because it had some drama.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you kids. But do you remember the Banana Splits?
Yeah, Banana Splits. You named another one.
Which one was it?
It sounded like deodorant.
I don't remember.
Ultraman,
yeah, which was interesting. It was like a Japanese, like, against Godzilla all the time. It was interesting.
Sounds like a deodorant commercial to me.
Is this the silent cartoons?
No.
Yeah. I'll tell you the ones so for me it was the God of Thunder, Mighty Thor. I mean, that guy came in with a hammer. He didn't stutter. He wasn't bouncing around locker rooms. Speed Racer. Yeah, love Speed Racer. Of course, HR Trixie. Puppet stuff, that kind of changed that. That kind of got a little weird. I was wondering, what is this? What are we doing? Witchy Poo and this kid bouncing around with a flute. Anyway, I love their lunch pail, though. It was a cool lunch pail.
Speed Racer, Chim Chim, Trixie. Sparky, and Pops. That's right. And Racer X.
Pops, not to be confused with Popeye.
Yeah.
Now, look, the thing with Popeye is they changed their voices too many times. Just about the time I'd get used to a Bluto or a Popeye voice, then they would change. Give me some consistency. But the one that bothered me all the time that I didn't care much for, I'd always change the channel, was Felix. Felix the cat, the wonderful cat with his bag of tricks. I didn't like that guy. It's like, get out of here, Felix. You're making it up as you go. There's nothing in that sack of tricks that is worth a dang.
I grew up on a lot of Flintstones. That was kind of around when I was younger.
And that thing is the same with Flintstones. Barney's, they
and
changed
Scooby,
his voice.
Scooby, watch a lot of Scooby.
They were changing out his voice all the time. So let's get back to the football game today. When you look at the mullet, and what he said today, he's the dude's a trip. You know, Miss Beth was talking to me this morning. She goes, you know, how'd you like to be Mike Gundy? And I said, well, I don't know if I want to be Mike Gundy. Sounds like a movie, being Mike Gundy. But she said to me, she goes, you know, here you are. You're in the Big 12. Every year, you know, you're a threat, and you end up beating somebody. By the way, pay attention to Neil Brown today. They got someone coming in there. Neil Brown always slips up and beats somebody in his first couple of years. Remember when he was at Troy. They went on in there to LSU and got the victory. He's done it before. So sometime this year, the West by God Virginians are going to beat somebody, and they got Kansas State today in Morgantown. But when you look at this game and you look at the mullet, it's just so inconsistent. And the mullet's 50. He's a man, so he's it's just some inconsistency going on. You've got to, and you drove Boone Pickens crazy because T-Boone would say, listen, I don't care about finishing, you know, at the Big 12 championship. I want to win a national championship. That was his goal. That's why he did what he did in Stillwater. By the way, when they did the bricklaying, you know, all the bricklaying, what the Cowboys didn't realize is that they hired a bricklayer who was a Sooner fan. And so, as bricklayers often do, ever so subtly, he chose just a lighter colored brick strategically placed. And as they did in-progress reviews, no one was picking up on the subtlety because you had to be way back, like a quarter of a mile or half a mile back to see it. And he had the bricks OU.
Oh, my Lord.
At Oklahoma State. You can read about it online if you Google it. He got busted. But Boone was so frustrated. I mean, he had a love-hate relationship with Gundy because...
Well, I don't think Gundy would have been Boone's pick for the coach in a lot of those years. Boone was pretty public about how hard he was on Gundy. And Gundy was public about that, too, wasn't
it? Yeah.
But, I mean, what do you do, though? I mean, you're still in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and you got the Sooners not too far away from you. And I don't know. Is Oklahoma State... Will they ever actually contend for a national title? I mean, is that the thing? Can they?
You know the thing. What I'm saying is,
I only feel like maybe five or six schools in the nation can win a national championship right now.
Yeah,
and I think it's so concentrated to the very select few.
Now they're currently ranked sixth, but are they really ranked sixth? It's 2026.
No. We haven't even seen Big Ten football play. We saw 1 week. And what's going on with Nebraska? I've heard they're wanting to opt out of some. Was it this week? I guess Wisconsin had to cancel because of COVID.
Wisco, right?
And then Nebraska said, I guess they called up Tennessee Chattanooga to just, hey, it's a Monday. You want to play Saturday? And they're like, we're game. But I think the Big Ten stepped in and said, no, you're not doing this.
Oh, really? They shut that down.
They did.
I missed that. Mm-hmm. I missed that on D1 ticker.
But getting back to the rankings and everything. I don't know if you can really get an honest assessment of rankings.
Well, that's why I think the Longhorns are going to win today, is because I have a track record of looking at what the Cowboys have done, the Oklahoma State Cowboys have done, and it's too inconsistent. I'm not going to throw a $2 bet on, well, maybe $2, but if I had $100, someone said here's $100, pick a team. I'm going to pick Texas.
But what have you seen from Texas that's consistent?
I'm basing that off of Gundy's performance.
Okay.
Over the last decade, where it's been, you get really, really excited, and then
he gets
you
pumped up,
carefully,
and then
it's not as pretty as you thought it once was. So you know the thing.
Well, I hope you're right.
And what is that, Jamie?
That's a picture of Fast Eddie as a ghost when he was like five.
Well, text in your favorite your favorite Halloween costume. Some of these folks get a little too cray cray. I mean, when I first came here to Austin back home in 2012, one of the things that my buddy Lou told me was, hey, you're going to love Halloween here. And I was like, what? And he said, yeah, it's crazy. Halloween, you know, the adults get into it. And I'm like, man,
that's like my favorite costume, girl's costume in the world is.
What, the birthday suit?
No, naughty. Naughty. Does it have anything else? Add whatever. Naughty nurse. Naughty.
Just naughty?
Naughty. It's got to start with naughty, but it's my favorite. Then, yeah.
Are you substituting the word naughty for something else, dear?
No.
Man, if you could go so many different ways on that. Clutch Cargo, what is this? I guess I got to edit some of the text because I don't know what they are.
Colonel,
Tom and Jerry.
Have you done a Sixth Street Halloween ever?
Negative.
We're gonna get you down there.
Well,
not this year.
I don't know if I'm the type.
Nah, we'll get you down there. We'll get you go to some of the bars and do some trick or treating.
Sure,
we'll
bring
get you dressed
pirate,
up.
Bring my pirate.
Sure.
No, costume.
Award. Absolutely.
It's an award-winning pirate costume.
Maybe we can get Mike Leach to go with you trick or treating.
Yeah. How's he doing up there, Mississippi?
I have no idea really right now.
He's struggling a little bit, but out of the gate, he looked great.
Yeah. With that win against LSU.
It's funny. Leach and I were texting about a year ago.
What about Halloween costumes?
No. About him vacationing in Morocco. We weren't texting about leader development and football and anything else. And he was thinking about, so tell me about this, Jemal Hefna in Marrakesh. Which fresh orange juice booth should I go to, and what's the guy's name?
Did you
I'm going,
he's so eccentric, isn't he?
Yeah, did you meet him? I go, this is Mike Leach text. No, I've never met him. He's texting me.
Did you know him through Coach Wardis?
Drew Bledsoe.
Drew Bledsoe.
It wasn't from your 1978 costume competition as a pirate?
No.
He didn't look that up and said, I want to be friends with him.
There's this great picture of Mike Leach. He's doing the George Costanza. You know the Costanza painting where George is laying there? And that someone did one up of Leach doing that. And so what did he do with it? He hung out in his office.
Yeah. Leach didn't even play college football.
No, he played rugby at
rugby
BYU.
Guy.
Yeah.
Went to law school.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Interesting cat.
Beautiful day here.
Beautiful week. 360. Rifle deer season opens.
It's coming up next week. Get on in there. Sportsman's Finest, they're ready for you right now. AM 1260, streaming live on the Horn app at hornfm.com. We'll be back.
The Texas Wine of the Week.
You know what that means, supporting our Texas grape growers, wine makers. Oh, award-winning wines just dominating right now in the great state and only getting better by the year, and it's been a great year for Texas grape growers and wine makers. Sponsored by Drew Brown over at Wilson Goldrick. When we got here in 2012, for 6 months, Drew Brown looked for us, what ended up being the perfect home for us and our three daughters. And boy, you talk about an authentic, relentless, and selfless real estate agent right here in Westlake. Wilson Goldrick, ask for Drew Brown, sponsor of the Texas Wine of the Week. We thank you, Drew. You're a special part of our family, I promise you that. And the guy that brings us the Texas Wine of the Week, the voice of the Texas wine makers, grape growers, the one and only, Jamie.
We get the Brent Dickey Memorial Wine Pick of the Week. Brent, we don't know where you are. Please call home.
Hello, Brent.
All right. We got the 2016 Croson Wines Malbec. Barrel aged, lost draws, vineyards, light and playful on the palate. This Malbec offers a lighter style of wine featuring blue fruit notes and a blend of lavender. Yes, I said lavender. And dried sage. The palate offers a nice light structure with a tart and earthy old world finish.
Wow.
And that's our Memorial Brent Dickey Wine Pick.
Say
of
it one
the
more
week.
Time, please.
It's the 2016 Croson Wine Malbec Barrel Aged.
Wow.
Never Straw Vineyards.
Never say later for a Malbec. That's one naughty wine. I bet you would like that, Jamie.
Brent would show up. We find him. We do that.
Jamie absolutely. Is a friend of the naughty. Clutch Cargo and those creepy lips. That's another cartoon right out there. It's all about the Chico Sticks today. Happy Halloween. Neil Walla, if you're an Independence, that's the day you're celebrating. I don't know if there'll be a masked up parade today, but we will celebrate Neil Walla along with Halloween. It just cracks me up. Our kids loved going through, hey, Dad, it's Neil Walla. And, here we go. So, kick today. Bucky and Chad will be in here in just a few minutes. They're probably dusting up their shoes, probably stomping at the carpet out here right now, ready to go in to bring you 4 hours of fun and games leading up to the kickoff out there in Stillwater, where they'll be hitting the pads at least 1,600 or so. I think there's not going to be many folks in the stands, but so you'll be able to hear the mullet. And look, last time they got together, the mullet and Coach Herman, man, they nearly came to blows. At least they feigned like they were. I think they threw a couple of Chico sticks at one another from across the field, but we'll see if they bow up and get on in there with it. So,
well, the mullet is a man. He's been a man for 10 years now. So,
well, he is. He's the first to tell you.
Shirtless mullet.
I went to the Oklahoma State High School Coaches Convention. Wasn't Oklahoma State. It was Oklahoma High School Coaches Convention last, I think it was in January, and the mullet came out there. He's a baseball guy. Played baseball in college. Robin Ventura was on that team. in the 80s. Had the privilege of playing against guys like that. Ventura made the 84 Olympic team along with Mark McGuire. Also on that team was Ink, Pete Incaviglia, who was Big born Pete. And raised at a deli up in the Northeast.
Now that guy could turn on one in college, couldn't he?
Yeah, he hit a ball at TCU when we were hosting the Oklahoma State Cowboys, and golly, it went out, and you it was like a golf ball hitting a cart path. It hit the parking lot and bounced straight up, and then it went down to Fraternity and Sorority Row down
it's,
there.
It's
at
still
TCU.
Bouncing, huh?
Well, somebody found it. But I just remember sitting there. Of course, I was not in the lineup, which was standard operating procedure. But I did get to see the Pete Incaviglia. That dude was built like a running back.
Yeah, yeah.
But he grew up in a deli.
Yeah.
I had a friend named Chewy. He was the center on our football team. And Chewy, his dad ran Chewin's Delicatessen. And the name of the delicatessen was Chewy's. And he always had the keys to the deli. And we would be out doing whatever we were doing as 16, 17-year-olds. And if we were with Chewy, he would say, "Hey, guys, want to go make a – let's go make a – sub." And you go in there, and he'd fire up the meat slicer, and would it was weird being in the back of a – because a deli up in New York can be intimidating. Yeah. When you step up there, you better know what soup you want. And Chewy had the keys to the deli, and it was kind of creepy going in there at night.
I bet you probably invented some good sandwiches, though. As a 16-year-old with keys to the deli?
You would not.
Oh, I'd make some combinations.
You wouldn't believe the
oh, my Lord.
The meat the sandwich that I really liked was liverwurst.
Liverwurst. I don't think I've ever had liverwurst.
I think that's it. You spread it, I think. You spread liverwurst, yeah. And you get a little onion and a little something else you put on. Capers, I think it is. And I can't stand liver. It's one thing that makes me... But liverwurst with a little slice of mater in there. And they always seemed like they had liverwurst in... and then they had that marbled meat that had that you could see through it. And that was bad. It looked like a coffee table. But you'd make a sandwich out of the stupid stuff. What was that called? Something head. Cheese head or something. At the deli, and that was a meat that I just kind of passed over when Chewy opened up the deli. You were the answer to the texter who asked if Willie was the one playing racquetball at Cap Mountain.
I mean, there's a lot of people playing racquetball at Cap Mountain.
No,
but I definitely played racquetball at Cap Mountain growing up as a child.
Because you played intramurals. You played.
Well, I played in a league in junior college.
Yeah.
And but it had nothing to do with me growing up playing racquetball.
But you won the league.
Well, we did win the league. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had a good time.
It's like Bob Ballou winning yesterday.
But
at the
I'm not saying our competition was very athletic. I think one lady walked in with a walker. You know.
The thing about racquetball is if you know the angles. Jamie, you ever played this sport, racquetball?
Yeah, I'm not just for fun. I wasn't competitive like Willie Brown.
I wasn't competitive. Okay. It was like one semester we signed up.
I didn't have an uncle that had a racquetball court. I'm sorry.
It's my grandfather.
Not, grandfather, somebody.
I got suckered into this guy was on the All Army racquetball team, which is like professional racquetball, and he was a sergeant first class, and he knew my dad when my dad was serving. So he said, I was a young lieutenant, and he was like, "Sir, I'm going to take you." His name was Joe Lee, and he said, "Sir, I'm taking you. We're going to play racquetball tomorrow." And I said, "I don't have a racket or anything." "Sir, you just show up and just prepare to get your butt whooped." And I never scored. I couldn't even return a ball because...
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah.
It was terrible. All I was doing was running, banging my shoulders into the wall, and he would just bury it up in one of the corners or down in one of the lower corners. They're not playing racquetball in Stillwater today.
OSU 31, UT 27.
Oh, 31-28. The Longhorns take it. 31-28. Missed field goal at the end.
I'm going to reverse the... I'm going to take Colonel's score, but just reverse the teams. Yeah. I'm going to go Oklahoma State by 3.
Yeah. That's what I had.
Oh, well, then I'm going to take Jamie's. Okay. There you go. You're a trendsetter, Jamie.
I'm a trendsetter.
You really are.
Hey, no, who's a trendsetter? Sammy. Your hair looks amazing, sir.
Thank you.
Happy Halloween, everybody. Send Chico Sticks to the horn. Attention, Jamie Frazier, Craig Flowers, and Willie Brown. Jamie, peace. Thank you, my friend. Have your Tootsie Rolls ready tonight. Someone's going to knock.
Get me Snickers.
We'll be back next Saturday, Army versus Air Force, from the banks at 360. Happy Halloween.
The zombies were having fun. The party had...
This Sunday night.